Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's go ahead and open this morning. We're talking about royalty, is the title of the message. And the subtitle, because I love subtitles, is Born of a Mortal Seed. All right? And let's go to 1 Peter, and we'll start there. And this is where I got this particular title from, this scripture. And we'll start there, and then we'll move on. Now, I'm going to ask you, brave the wind to get here, so don't let the wind distract you while we're preaching and teaching, amen? You'll be all right. God is good, and He'll protect us. And you got here safely, so He can keep you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 23. How many love the word? You love the word? I love the word. Let's pray and then we'll read. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that we can accomplish and do nothing without the help of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. And Jesus, before you left the earth, you said you'd send us another comforter, one just like you. That would show us things to come, that would bring all things to our remembrance that you said to us, and that would teach us He is the Spirit of truth. So Holy Spirit, we open our hearts, we intentionally, in faith right now, by a decision of our will, open our hearts not to man's opinion, but to your word, to your powerful word, and the seed of your word. And we say, plant your seed in us. Lord, I yield myself to you. I ask, as Paul asked in Ephesians, Lord, that you would give me boldness and utterance or words to speak. I yield myself to you right now and the gift that you've placed within me to pastor, Lord. And I ask that by the Holy Spirit, you help me to minister in that gift as pleases you and to say the words that please you and to speak the words that would that carry your anointing as you would say them from your word. With your temperament, Lord, your kindness, your goodness, your love, and the fruit of the Spirit, so that lives would be changed, minds would be transformed, eyes would be open, hearts would be receive grace, so that empowerment would come, so that we could walk out and live these words, because we know when we do, and we're doers of the word, you bless us. You said the doer of the word is blessed. And so, Lord, you long to bless us, so we long to obey, and by your grace we can do it, because we have your power in us. We thank you for it, and for the rest of this service, in Jesus' name, everybody that agreed said, amen. All right, 1 Peter 1:23 says this, having been born again, how many have been born again? I've been born again. I was born once to the McFarland clan. It's a Scottish bunch. We were, in fact, if you look in our history, Heidi looked up some history about the McFarlands because she wanted to know what she was getting into. And we're Scottish, and at one point, our clan, the full moon was known as the McFarland Lantern when there was a full moon, because we'd go out and steal cattle from everybody else during a full moon. So they called it the McFarland Lantern. At one point, we got in a fight with another clan, so they had a family meeting, and we locked them inside the building and burned the building down. So, it's good history. You're in a safe place this morning. We aren't going to lock the doors halfway through, so don't worry about it. No, thank God I'm born again, amen? All right, so I was part of the William Wallace bunch. We were freedom or die, you know what I mean? So, but I got born again, which means I have the nature of Christ. And how many know that the nature of Christ does not seek death for a person? He seeks life. In fact, the nature of Christ would rather die in your place than you die for your sins. Amen? So thank God we've been born again. I love it. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through what? Through the Word of God, which lives and abides, how long? Forever. Let me read this to you in the Amplified Translation. It says this, you have been regenerated born again, not from mortal origin, seed or sperm, but from immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. So that's where I got part of that title, born of what? Immortal seed. Immortal. Okay? Now let's look at the word immortal, okay? If you want to write down immortal, you can. And I'll give you a definition here, if I can find it, which I can. All right, the word immortal means this. It means uncorrupted. It means not liable to corruption or decay. The seed that lives in you, who is Christ, cannot decay. You understand that? Do you see that? You are born of immortal seed. It is imperishable. Imperishable. It cannot perish. You know, the scripture says this. The scripture says, we know that we've passed from death unto life. This is in 1 John. But we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You notice that John didn't say, someday you're going to pass from death unto life. If you're born again, you've already passed from death unto life. So this is something that is a part of the reason why we're going into this series that I felt like the Lord impressed upon my heart, is that people are so, Christians especially, are so naturally minded that they're not aware of what came into them when they were saved. A lot of times Christianity and salvation is preached from the perspective that when you die, you get to go to heaven. So we bring this perspective of, okay, you're going to miss hell and you're going to go to heaven. How many know that is a truth? That's truth, amen? You will. You'll miss hell. You'll go to heaven. You don't even have to smell hell. You don't even have to look at it. You don't even have to see the flame. You just go right to the presence of God. Thank God for that. But what has been missed oftentimes is not just that you get to go to heaven, but that heaven came and now lives in your spirit. You say, heaven, so I have streets of gold in my spirit. No. Heaven, and I've done this before, and it's interesting to read the book of Revelation and see the description of heaven about the gold streets and the foundations of the city and how there's stones and there's pearly gates. And, you know, you put pearls around your neck, God builds gates out of them. We put gold, you know, what if your driveway was gold? That's what God does. He's like, people are like, oh, that's pure gold. Yeah, let's make pavement out of it. He just makes pavement. Why? Because what's the most precious thing in heaven? You. Come on. You are. All the people that are there. The most precious thing in heaven is not the gates. Who cares about the gates? You are the most precious thing to the Lord. Well, the seed that lives in you is the seed of His Son. You remember this from the scripture. It says that Jesus was what? The firstborn among many brethren. He was the firstborn, which means, I don't know who the secondborn was. I don't know that we have a record of it, but I'm somewhere in there. He was the firstborn, and that's what Mike was talking about. He's our older brother. That's what he is. Now, he's our Lord. Don't get me wrong. People are like, yeah, my older brother. I know. It's not like that. Okay? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is our older brother. He is our brethren. We are brethren. We are siblings in the Lord. Glory to God. Amen? That's good news. See, the most important thing in heaven is you. You know, Paul said, in one of his epistles, he said, you're my prize. You're my reward. Talking about the people. Not talking about, whether or not he got to be the size of his church or the churches he has. Not talking about the size of the building they owned or where they met or how many staff he had. He wasn't talking about natural things as his prize and reward. He was talking about the people. The most important thing to God is the people. Do you know why the enemy has a whole save the planet thing? Because it gets people focused off the people and focused on things that are unnecessary. Now, I'm not saying that we should try and destroy the planet, okay? I'm not saying that. I think we should do things efficiently and stuff. But don't lose your perspective of what God counts as good, as precious, as worth it all. He didn't send his son to the earth to save the planet. And listen to me carefully, or the animals. I said, listen to me carefully, or the animals. Let's see. It's interesting how the culture has tried to shift the way we think. And we got to watch that. We got to pay attention to it. Because if we don't, we can allow those things to begin to infiltrate the way we think rather than allowing the Word of God to decide how we think. Amen? All right. So let's move. You've been born of divine seed. How many know that's good news? Go ahead and go to 2 Peter chapter 1. So just a book over. And I want you to see this. I want you to see this again. I'm just going to review some scriptures. And they are talking about that you're a spirit. Okay? Because I want you to understand where that seed was put. And it was put in your heart. It was put in your spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 says this. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth. Verse 13. Yes, I think it right as long as I am what? In this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent just as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Notice here that Paul is separating his body from him. You see that? He says what? I got to put off my what? Tent, right? Can you grab that glove for me there? Thank you. So, I want to reiterate this again. The spirit that is you, inside you, has a shell over it. Do you know what the shell is? It's your body. Or what Paul calls what? A tent. A tent. Now, if I had a tent set up here, and I'm inside the tent, am I the tent? No. I'm just what? Inside the tent. But if I was talking to you from inside the tent, would you go, huh, that tent's talking? Your body is a tent. That's all it is. It is a house for your spirit to live in. So there's no life in the glove unless I do what? Put my hand in the glove, right? Now, I can put my hand in the glove and now the glove has what? Animation. It has life. It has movement, right? I could take my hand in the glove and go over here and pick up this fake plant. This plastic plant. What's that? My wife's laughing at me. All right. So this glove can pick up this plant. It has contact with the plant, with the pot that the plant's in, right? Okay? What if I set the plant down and go like that? Put the glove down there. Can that glove pick up the plant? No. See, your body gives you access to this earth. The only reason you can touch anything here is because you got your glove on. That's it. What happens in death? Your spirit leaves the hand, leaves the glove, and you go to heaven to be with the Lord. Does that make sense? That's why you put the body in the hole in the ground. Or some people cremate the body. Why? Well, that's not the person. Did you burn their spirit? Were they at the funeral when you were there? People say, oh, I feel them here. No, that's your soul, brother. That ain't their spirit. They either went up or down, one or the other. There's no in between. Well, I think they're roaming around the earth haunting. No, 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 no. That's familiar spirits. They're not still there. Well, you know, I seen the show on TV. That's your problem. You saw the show on TV instead of read the Bible. You got the spirit of confusion instead of the spirit of Christ. Well, it was a real experience. Yeah, it was a real demon. They're real. Stop watching that stuff, man. Rebuke it and turn the TV channel. You know what I mean? You don't want any part of that. But there's no life. Oh, I messed up the decor. All right. There's no life. That's pretty close. Sorry. Okay, well, I give up. All right, so there's no life in the glove without the spirit being... I'm saying it wrong. There's no life in the glove without the hand being in the glove. There's no life in your body without your spirit being in your body. The spirit that you have has been born again. It has the nature now of who? Christ. How big is your God in you? The scripture says that the same spirit, Romans 8:11, that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. Whoa, that's big. I mean, Jesus didn't go to hell and like barely make it out. You know what I mean? He went down there, took everything, and left. He just worked them all. The demons were like, "We got him." And he's like, "Oh, no, you don't." All of a sudden, a right arm came out of heaven and raised Christ from the dead. And that spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. There is nothing impossible for you because you're with the Lord. Now, you can run off and just do some stuff in your own. You know, you can try it out. I'm just going to go off here. And you didn't ask the Lord and it wasn't the Lord's will for your life, and you'll be frustrated. Or you can learn how to yield to who's inside you and operate in grace, and you'll see success in your life. Or you're saying, "I'll never have a problem." Oh, no. Jesus promised you'd have problems. It's just that when you're in His will, people are like, "Oh, man." You know, listen, there's nobody. You know what the difference between the amount of problems that come to the world and the amount of problems that come to us is? Really not a whole lot. The scripture says when Jesus was talking about the storm coming, it came to the man who was saved and the man who wasn't. The storm comes. You say, "Oh, God caused the storm." No, Adam and Eve let all the storms in when they sinned. There was no storms before Adam and Eve sinned. You know, we talked about this before, but what day did Jesus create tornado bunkers? In the beginning. Come on, think with me. Some of you are like, "A bunker? What?" In Genesis chapter 1, on what day did God create storm shelters? He didn't need to. Why? Because He's not looking to destroy you. The enemy is. We say, "Why do we have storm shelters today?" Because the enemy got let in, and God was like, "Man, I better teach them how to build a storm shelter." Yay? Makes sense, right? Well, there's whole sections of Christianity that are like, "Yeah, God and the devil are working together." Are you nuts? Where do you get that? They are not buddies. They do not hang out and they do not talk together. First of all, Satan couldn't even stand it, being in the presence of the Creator. You know what I mean? God is not using the devil to teach you a lesson. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He was called the teacher. The devil's not. The devil's in the earth, but he's defeated. And we cooperate with the Lord, we obey the Lord, and everybody's got trouble. But the difference between them and us is we have the promises of God, and we're in obedience with God, and we can walk through, and He'll split the Red Sea for us. He'll calm the storm. We can obey His promises and act on those promises. You know, we talked about taking up the shield of faith. We can do that, and God will make good on His promises. The Bible says He watches over His word to perform it. Our God is not an absent, negligent parent. He is ever watching over you, waiting to bless obedience and your faith. Amen? All right. So, let's give you another example. Can I have that? Yeah, that one. My son was so excited for this. Judah kept trying to steal it during the before the service. Okay, anybody know what this is? Minecraft, yeah. I don't play Minecraft. This is not mine. Yeah, sure. He says, sure. Okay, this is not my toy. But I wanted to give you another example rather than bringing a whole tent. Is this somewhat of a head? Okay, you ready? Yeah. Okay. This is what, how weird is this on the sound? Because I can't hear myself. This is what spirit, somebody take a picture of this. Somebody take a picture anyway. We good? Hold on. You got it? I'll smile. Okay. This is what spirit and body is like. Is this a head? But is it my head? It's just the head over my head. That's it. You are inside your body looking out the windows you call eyes. You're a spirit. Not just a spirit, but the one that the resurrection of Christ lives in. Glory to God. You've got great victory. You know, I just go through my kids' rooms and look for sermon illustrations. I really do. I'm like, I could use that. You have the resurrection of Christ in you. You're not just anybody. You're a child of God with His very nature inside you. Okay, let's take a look at this. Go to, I'll read this. You can go to, I have more scriptures I could give you on that, but I'm not gonna. Go to 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to read this to you. I have this titled as the explanation of salvation, but you can call it what you want. This is what happened in the new birth. Now listen closely to this because I want you to hear it and to get it. Don't just let it pass over your ears and go, oh yeah, that, yeah. I mean, really pay attention. The new birth is not the changing of something in man. Now don't disconnect on me, okay? Nor the removal of something from man, but the communication of something to man. Okay, I'm going to read it again. The new birth is not the changing of something in man. In other words, when you were born into the earth, you were a spirit, you had a soul, and you lived in a body. But your nature was what? That of the world, Satan. You know, anybody that's not born again, let me help you with this. Anybody that's not born again, Jesus said this. They're of their father, the devil. Well, that's not, there's some other good religion. Listen, if being good could make you a child of God, we wouldn't have needed to get rid of the Ten Commandments or the law. Jesus wouldn't have had to come. The issue is it's a nature change. You have to have a change from going, being a part of the devil's crowd to being a part of God's crowd. That's why it says you have to be born again, because you were already born once. You were already born once. That's why you have to be born again. It comes that way. The nature then changes. The nature changes. All right? So he says this, the new birth is not the change of something in man, nor the removal of something from man, but the communication of something to man, something which he never before possessed. The new birth is literally the impartation or planting of the divine nature to the heart and life of the sinner, which makes him a new creation. That's what it is. There is a removal in the sense of the old sin nature dies and resurrection life is put inside you. The scripture says that the old is what? Passed away and the new has come. It passed away. If I said, you know, my grandpa passed away, what would you know? He's taking a dirt nap. He already really did pass away. Well, that's so disrespectful. He's in heaven. All we did was put his body He's probably laughing at that joke right now. If you knew my grandpa, you he was that way. But at 91, he did what? He said, I'm out. And he left. And he went to heaven. But he passed, so his natural nature went away, but his spirit just went on. Well, what happens inside of you is when you receive Jesus, that sin nature dies, it goes away, and God's nature now is in you. Now, guys, I'm telling you, this is so exciting. If we can just get this one point right here, I have so much more I get to share. Okay? And it's really exciting because what we're going to look at in this royalty series, it will take the frustration out of your Christianity. It literally will just remove things. We're going to begin to take a look at what it is that you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. And you're going to understand that your spirit is born again, but your body still has sin running in it. And you're going to begin to understand why you still have desires to do things that you know are wrong. And you're going to see the balance between how a renewed mind to the spirit that is in you, the resurrection of Christ, will give you total victory over the nature of your flesh. Down to you not saying words in a cross tone. If people say, well, how is that possible? But by the grace of God. Because grace is not just unmerited favor. Grace is empowerment to do what God has asked you to do. And really what He has empowered you or caused you to be born again to do. Amen? And it's exciting. It's not like, man, I know I... And you can feel people sometimes. I know I got to do better. I just got to do better. When you understand that God has made you better... And He's put His ability in you to overcome your flesh and live victorious over your flesh. It will break the chains of religiosity that people have in their mind. You know, Brother Hagin used to say this to us. Much of the church has been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. And that is the truth. Because preachers have run around saying, don't do this and do this and don't do this and don't do that. And you never understood that you had a nature to do and don't. You already possess it now. I'll show it to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 10 says this. He who believes in the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Him, this is the Amplified, has the testimony, possesses the divine attestation within himself. Where do you possess it? Within yourself. He who does not believe God in this way has made Him out to be a liar, and represented Him as a liar, because he has not believed, put his faith in, trusted, adhered to, and relied on the evidence, the testimony that God has borne regarding His Son. Verse 11, and this is that testimony, that evidence. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who possesses the Son gets it when he dies. What does it say? You have it now. You have it now. People say, well, I got to die. And then when I die... No, death does not purify you. Jesus did. Jesus did. We're going to get into this message. I like messages that like answer a lot of questions all at once. You know, I don't have to go down through, you know, you got to do this 20 things for this and this 20 things. I like answers that just cover the bases. This will take the fight right out of your marriage. This message. It'll take the fight right out of it. You will, because you'll follow your spirit all day long, and the Holy Ghost will go, no, don't say that. And all the married people said, amen. This, understanding this, will help you with the frustrations you have with your kids. Well, why is that just not working? Well, you have His life in you right now. Look to Him. He'll show you. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And you'll just have just a sense inside. You know what? Say it like this. Don't say it like that. Or you see your kid do something dumb. I've saw my kids do that before. I must be the only one. And I'll go, man, I got to correct that. But you'll stop first and go, okay, I'm going to correct out of my born-again nature, not out of my flesh right now. And not only do you do the right thing, but you do it with the right motive. Which then, what is released to your child when you do it out of a born-again nature? The resurrection of Christ. And so your child doesn't just know what to do, but knows the spirit of what to do. You're witnessing to your child. Boy, I got to grow up. I got to grow up. Amen. Anybody else got to grow up? I got to grow up, man. But by the grace of God, all things are possible. I'm not going to rely on my own ability. I'm going to rely on His. His nature lives in me. Yeah, stop trying to do it yourself. You're just frustrating yourself. God's going, stop that. I'll help you. Just quit trying to do it yourself. Hear from the Lord. And this works in every arena. Every single one. Business. Finances. Co-workers. 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 This is for me. Co-workers. I'm teasing. Kinda. All right. It works in every area. Every single area. All right. We'll finish with these here. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 24. Says this. I'm going to read the Amplified again. All who keep His commandments, who obey His orders and follow His plan, live and continue to live, to stay and abide in Him, and He in them. They let Christ be at home let Christ be a home to them, and they are at home. They are the home of Christ. And by this we know and understand and have the proof that He really lives and makes His home in us by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Not gonna get when you get to heaven. You have Him now. You have Him now. You know, you having Him now gives you access to heaven later. Because nobody without the nature of God is getting into heaven. That's why the whole good works thing is such a fraud. I only do good works because good works is in me. It's not because I'm trying to earn my way. That's crazy. That's crazy. A crazy thought. It just doesn't make sense. And that's, again, people have been just religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. That's why we honor the Word so highly here at the church. 1 John 4, 4. Little children, you are of God. You know, He's not talking to children's church right here. Who are God's little children? All of us. All of us. You know, to us, you know, like my kids will color a picture. I go to tell on Aiden. This is so cute. So I said, I picked up this paper after church. Aiden is Mike and Jody's youngest. And I picked up this paper that was out front after church. I was kind of cleaning up. And man, the coloring was all over the place. I mean, it was just like, and one color, you know. And it had a little sword with it too. So they must have been learning about the Word of God or something. I said, oh, Aiden, is this yours? He goes, yeah, I didn't color in the lines. You know, our attempts to God are like that. You know what I mean? We are His little children. We go to Him and go, God, we look at what we did. And He's like, oh, that's so good. And you as parents, you know, you take that little scribble and you put it on the fridge. You know, you don't look at it and go, oh, man, you can't do any better than that. Well, the Lord doesn't do that to you. He goes, oh, that's good. That's really good. Hey, next time let's stay inside the lines a little bit more. And as we grow, we learn to stay inside the lines. But even if we live long, we get 100 years down here to do it. So, but by the grace of God, amen? So, little children, I got all of that out of that statement. You are of God, you belong to Him, and have already defeated and overcome the agents of the Antichrist. Now, that's a good word. You should read that all day, every day. And it says this,
Because he who lives in you, where does he live? Where does he live? He who lives in you is greater and mightier than he who lives in the world. Where does Christ live? Do you get him when you go to heaven? You say, you keep repeating it. I know, I want you to get it. He lives in you now. You say, well, why do you keep repeating it? How many times in a day do you not respond out of who's in you now? So we can get better, amen? We can get better, amen? All right. Hallelujah. Here's a couple other scriptures you could look at later. 1 John 4:13, if you want to. Talks about having his life imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 is another good one you could look at. And then I'm going to read this to you. It says this: when I was born the first time, I received from my parents their nature. When I was born the second time, I received from God his nature. No other religion has such a message as this. Christianity is the only religion which professes to take a man fallen by nature and regenerate him by bringing into him the life of God. No, and I've said this before, but it'll bear repetition. No one would ever dream of saying, he that hath Buddha hath life. No. Buddha ain't got life. Buddha dead. Buddha gone. No, I got a statue of him. I can knock the statue of Buddha over. Oh, that would be disrespectful. No, what's disrespectful is that you think there's a God higher than Jehovah. That's disrespectful. But I could knock the statue of Buddha over, and you know what? He ain't going to come get me. He can't. He's dead. He's just gone. He's dead. You can go to his tomb. He's dead. He's dead. Well, he was happy. He's dead. And if he didn't have Christ, he's in hell. He ain't happy. It's deception. I'm not afraid of other gods because there is none. They don't exist. What am I to fear? Well, you have to respect other religions. I'll respect people, but I won't respect other religions. There is only one God. Okay, let me ask you something. Have you read the book of Revelation? Is Jesus going to come back and like, okay, everybody, let's all join together. We're all together. Every religion. Oh, yeah, it's all right. Many different ways to God. Ignore what I said in the Gospels. Just, yep, we're all going to be together. No. No, he's coming on a horse with a sword. I'm going to be on a horse with him, behind him. You understand what I mean by that? The scripture says in Revelation that we will ride white horses. I have a white horse. It's not on earth, but I do have one. It's in the stall, being taken care of for me right now. Yeah. I don't believe in fairy tales. I believe in reality. And this is reality. Christ is reality. There is way too much evidence in this planet about this book and about the life of Christ and about what took place and how science over and over and over again, at least for those who are intellectually honest and heartfelt, honest people, they see it over and over and over again where the Lord's word is confirmed and confirmed and confirmed over and over again. You know, I have this, you want to stand with me, please? This morning. Thank you for listening so well. I have this DVD, and it takes the Book of Mormon versus the Bible. Okay? And people say, oh, they argue scripture to the Book of Mormon, and then they go back. Nope, none of that. All they do is they take a passage in the Bible that talks about a war that happened in the Old Testament and where it was, and they go and do an archaeological dig. And you know what they find there? Swords, shields, horse bones, chariots, people. You know, because they died in the war. Then they take the Book of Mormon and they try and find in there where they can go, and because there's, you know, they claim they have all this information about the Book of Mormon to back it up. And they go and they talk to archaeologists and say, okay, we want to find this place and we want to do a dig. And they can't find anything. They took the book, the Bible, and they went to someone who knows language real well. They have an in the history of language, and they talk about the different languages in the Bible, and the guy's like, and this is not a saved guy. He's just a professor, is all he is. And he says, we know historically that these languages were spoken by this group. And then they right after that, they go to the Book of Mormon. They say, well, what about, because they claim that it came from a native tribe, the religion, the idea, the history of it. He said, well, what about these languages here? And he goes, I don't know. There's evidence, solid, I'm talking about natural evidence, for what we believe. Not only on the side of just non-biblical historians, but just in the scripture and biblical historians as well. I watched a DVD recently about the Exodus, talking about the Exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt. Do you know that there are actually recordings by the Egyptian recorders of their day that almost match identical the account in the Bible? Two separate. It was by the Egyptians who were being taken out by the God of Israel. And they record almost exactly the same stuff. Historical evidence. Not to mention the fact they can't find Jesus. We win! You know what I mean? We win! I'm not leaving this place and just going to float in the ether waves. I'm going to heaven when I die. When I throw my body off, my spirit's going to heaven. Amen? And you can have that same security. All you have to do is receive Christ. That's it. Believe on Him. Let Him be your Lord. Let Him change your life. Follow His instruction and move in unity with Him. And your life will be better. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for today. God, You're so good to us. Oh, we love Your Word. Lord, I just ask and I thank You that You said the Holy Spirit would bring all things to our remembrance. So this week, Holy Spirit, we're open to everything being brought back to us that You have said to us. We're wide open to You. We're going to be on purpose. Listen to the nature of the resurrection inside of us in our work day, in our communication with our family, in our communication with our co-workers and with those around us. Lord, in everything that we do, we want to be with You always, led by You. We thank You for the precious seed of Your Word, Lord. And we're thankful for what You're going to continue to show us. I bless Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. Don't blow away. Have a great week. And Wednesday night, we will finish up Gooder God here at the church. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.